This is a blended radio audio experience. Welcome to Coach's Corner with the coaches at Blended Athletics.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Coach's Corner. I am here with everyone's favorite, Daryl, and we are talking about mental health. How you doing, Daryl? It's been a while.
It has been a while, Morgan. I'm doing all right, I think. At least today. I feel like I'm today.
Doing all right. Yeah. Taking it day by day.
Exactly. What
Just else can like you do? Everyone else, pretty much. All right, so we are going to just dive right into this topic, and I'm just starting all of the podcasts on this topic the same way. And in your own words, how would you define mental health?
That's interesting because I've had so-called mental health issues a couple of times in my life, and to be honest, I can't seem to distinguish between mental health and bodily health and even emotional health. To me, it's all the same. It's, you know, your minds affect your body on so many different levels. I've been reading a lot actually about psychoimmunology. It's not a new subject. It's actually quite old. It's been studied for about 20 plus years. And psychoimmunology actually studies the effects of like stress on the immune system. And that stress can come from, you know, a physical source or a mental source or really anything else. And so stress on the body is stress on the body, whether it comes from the mind or from what you're eating or what you're doing or whatever it is. And in my opinion, if your body isn't healthy, you can't have a mind that's healthy. Either. It's just they kind of feed off one another. Well, maybe that's not even necessarily true because Stephen Hawking was basically like subject to sitting inside a wheelchair, you know, typing with his fingers. And he had a very brilliant mind. But at the same time, I'm sure that we're, you know, working with them. I'm digressing a little bit, but to get back to your question directly, I would say mental health is really just the the health of the thoughts that go through your head on a consistent basis. And for me, like I said, I think that's intimately tied into or linked to your physical health as well as your emotional health. It's all one big thing. And we're just kind of looking at one aspect of it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And going back to your little tangent back there of Stephen Hawking and like physical health and like body image and like, obviously his mental health and how he perceived his body didn't affect how he saw himself mentally, right. Where other people and their fitness and things like that can definitely take a huge toll on their mental health. Yeah. So I think that definitely makes sense for sure.
Yeah. So. And even like kind of using our current lockdown as like the latest example, because I mean, this, I don't even know how long we've been in this lockdown now. It feels like a month, but I'm pretty sure it's not even 2 weeks yet. But I've been watching the decay of people's mental health more and more during this past 2 weeks than I have really in any other point in my life. And my wife just showed me a picture of one of her friends that had a picture taken of her, I think just like last week or something like that. And her friend went from having like beautiful, long brown hair this time last year to being completely gray within the time span of 1 year. And so for me, that just kind of, it's one of those things that illustrates just how much something like a lockdown and these disruptions to our life can really take a toll on people to where like their hair is literally turning gray. I can't imagine, you know, the thoughts that must be going through her head on a consistent basis to have something like that happen. And so it's one of those things now where just there's so many unknowns and so many different things going on that just the confusion, the anxiety alone, I think is feeding into the mental landscape even more to where people are just kind of, their bodies are shutting down on them more and more. And, you know, they're aging prematurely as a result of mental anguish, you know? So it's a really important topic, but it's so, you know, obscure at the same time that I'm glad we're talking about it, but at the same time, I don't really know where all this stuff is going. So.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, as somebody who's worked in like the beauty industry, as a skincare therapist for like 20 years, I know firsthand how hard mental health and, stress can affect your skin. People, they age quicker, as you said, like fine lines, wrinkles, But also just like breakouts on your skin. Like if you're starting to break out, generally that's because you're stressed and anything that's going on inside your body, it's trying to get out and it's going to show in your skin, your hair, in your body for sure. So
yeah,
all of this definitely, goes hand in hand. Question. I think most people that know you, know the last 8 years or spent 8 years, not the last 8 years, you've been with us for a while. you spent 8 years in the U.S. Marine Corps. And I can't imagine that must have taken a huge toll on your mental health. Do you want to maybe talk a little bit about that? Like what it was like, and how did you cope with it, or did you like?
And that's an interesting conversation. And I think I touched on this a little bit during my Blended TV interview that I did. In the Marine Corps, there's no such thing really, or at least there wasn't when I was in, there wasn't such thing as mental health. In the Marine Corps, it was expected that you show up for your job, your uniform is immaculate, you're in formation when you're told to, you do what you're told to, when you're told to, in the exact same way that you're told to. And your feelings and your thoughts about the subject or whatever it is you're being told to get done are basically irrelevant. Like it doesn't matter how you feel about something. Only thing that matters is that you get the job done. And so in that regard, you know, anytime that there was an issue that came up, you know, I'm getting yelled at by some staff sergeant or something for something ridiculous, or we're in formation and they're messing with us, or, you know, having us take everything out of our rooms and lay it outside in the courtyard piece by piece, just for the sake of messing with us. It was more of like, I'm just going to do this. That way they can get off my butt and then I can go back to, you know, whatever life I have when I'm not in uniform. And so I found that in that way, actually, I internalized so much of what was happening. I actually developed really, really strong jaw muscles from clenching my teeth so much. And it actually, sometimes I still do it actually in my sleep. Sometimes I'll find myself doing it as well. But that was my coping mechanism. A lot of times was to either dig my nails into my fist when I was standing in formation, or to clench my teeth and just try and, you know, grit and grind my way through the mental anguish that I had. And so when my health finally started to degrade towards the end of my enlistment, I think really that was a culmination of like adverse reactions to different medications and vaccines that we were given, as well as just the toll that the stress had taken on my body. Everything just started to come apart all at once. And that's when I found myself really having to pick up the pieces that were broken as a result of like me not dealing with that mental stress on a consistent basis. And so, yeah, sorry, to answer your question, it was really just like, tough it out and deal with it. You know, you're like I said, my feelings about any situation didn't matter, because in the military, you're not looked at as an individual, you're looked at as a part of a unit. And so, you know, yes, a unit is the sum total of all the pieces, but the individual pieces themselves really don't matter all that much, especially when you're in something like infantry and you're basically cannon fodder, you know, for whatever war that needs to be fought. Like, you know, your feelings are irrelevant. And as hard as that is to say, it's kind of the truth. So,
like I can't imagine how hard that probably was. Like you're literally just, you're trained not to have feelings. And
right.
So I guess maybe carrying on a little bit with this, like once you finally finished your term and you were done, how was your mental health after that? Like, did everything just start coming out, or were you like hold to that for a while? Did you just kind of, did you change as a person, or like, how was that?
100%. I'm a completely different person than I was, you know, 12 years ago or more when I was actually in the military. But I like I said in my Blended TV interview, I had to basically build myself back up from the ground. I had to basically take apart my personality and take out all the crap that was put in there by the military and by, you know, teachers and, you know, all the different things that come up when you're a child. I had to take all that stuff out and basically say, all right, this is what was put in me. Now let me find what's the real me and then build myself back up from there. Just be the person that I wanted to become. But it also taught me a lot about coping in and of itself. And so coping with stress is something that I've had to learn to do myself. And I can't say that I'm exactly perfect with it, but I managed to get by without breaking, just with some really, really basic, simple things. And I don't even know if I like the word coping, because it's like, to me, the word cope kind of teaches you to sit back and accept
that
to accept how things are. Yeah. But at the same time, to do nothing to fix it. And so for me, I would say it's more of a, it's more about being aware that I'm off balance. And that's the word that I actually like to use. It's like, I either look at myself as being balanced in any given moment, or I'm swinging to one side of the pendulum or not. I like to really sit in that middle area. And so for me, it's recognizing like, okay, I'm swinging a little bit too far towards the burnout side, or I'm swinging a little bit too far towards the suppression side. And then having the, you know, the courage to look at myself and say, well, okay, this is how I'm feeling. Now, what is this doing to my body? And what is it doing to my thoughts as a result? And then taking that and saying, okay, like I'm feeling pretty anxious today, and my thoughts are circulating endlessly about, you know, what I think may be happening in the world, or, you know, if I'm going to have money to pay my bills, or, you know, just whatever words are coming up, and just sitting there and saying, okay, this is happening right now in my mind, so let me first check this. And, oh, I notice that this thought is happening and it's producing a bit of pain or pressure or, you know, tension or tightness in my chest or my stomach area. So let me now look at this and see what I can do to relax that and just, you know, deal with things. And it's really just a matter of, like I said, observing the thoughts that are going through my head, then observing the subsequent reaction that happens in my body. And then after I observe it, then saying, okay, is this necessary? If it's not necessary right now, what can I do to let this go? Like, it is the thought that's going through my head right now really relevant? Is there anything that I can do to change it? If not, what can I focus on in my immediate environment that I can control or that I can change? And it always comes back to myself and how I react to the situations that are in front of me. And what that might mean is that even though I'm irritated and anxious or, you know, depressed or whatever, I can still have a really good time with my kid if I'm able to let all of that stuff go and just be with him in that moment. Because, you know, when he's sitting there playing with his toys or playing outside in the lawn, he's not thinking about COVID or whatever. Like, he's almost 3 years old, that this stuff doesn't even exist to him in his reality. And so if I can kind of look at it like that and take a step back and say, okay, like, let me look at the world through his eyes and just be here with him, I notice that all that stuff falls away. And it may be there once I'm done playing with him or once I have a quiet moment to myself, but at least for those couple moments, I find a little bit of peace and clarity. And I find my mind taken off of the worries that, you know, that I constantly have. I don't know if I answered your question. I kind of rambled.
No, I think it's great. And I think that's great advice. And I'm like, I find that, I mean, similarly, like, whenever I'm feeling bad or like get in a certain mood, I try to figure out like what is causing it. Like, why am I feeling this way? And obviously feelings are important, but like I can feel this way for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, like get the feelings out and then move on. If you can't change them, if they're just there, then they're just, it's a feeling, like it's going to go away. So it's just like getting people to realize that it's not a long-term thing. But I mean, that's hard for, I guess, mental health, like for people, how do they deal with those feelings to realize that it is a feeling, to let it, like, how can they to let it affect them long-term, I guess.
Yeah. And so for me, I think that part of that comes from, like I said, first recognizing the feeling and then, or even the thought as it is in the body, but also not trying to run from it or wish it away. And I think that's what a lot of people do. And I've certainly been guilty of this myself, is, you know, having an uncomfortable feeling in the body and then automatically feeling the need to get rid of it or to drown it out. And so I think that's why people turn to like excess amounts of alcohol or more cannabis, or they start eating a lot of stuff, or, you know, all the foods that they know they shouldn't have. And they do anything to mask the underlying symptoms that they have in their body. You know, they just want to get rid of it instead of actually taking that time to realize that, yes, it is a feeling that's in the body, but it's there to be recognized, like it's a messenger of some sort, and that it's not going to go away on its own unless you actually take the time to process it. And so if you look at people that have, you know, extreme cases of trauma from past events, if you get them to sit there and close their eyes and pull up that traumatic event, you can pull up a full stress response, you know, tears and crying and the shakes and all that stuff, just from recalling a, you know, a traumatic experience in the mind. And so it's one of those things that just illustrates that, yeah, the feeling is there and it'll go away to some degree, but if it's not processed completely, it's going to stay buried within the body. And it's still going to have a, you know, a really drastic effect on them when it is pulled to the forefront of their mind. And so things, they have to be worked with, you know, and I think that people that want to cope with stress, so-called quote, yeah, you gotta sit through those uncomfortable feelings. And if there's nothing, if you can't sit there with them and really focus on them and allow them to go on their own way on their own, then you have to probably move them through your body. And so like, if I'm really, really frustrated and irritated and angry, I'll turn to the martial arts and I'll use, you know, the expression of, you know, boxing or Muay Thai or whatever on a heavy bag that we have downstairs to get that sensation out of my body. And even then, it's only really a temporary thing. It doesn't stop me from coming against that again. It's just a way to move that energy through my body in the most efficient manner possible.
Yeah. It's so, almost like it's a release, like it's not going away completely, but if it helps you, yeah. Right. Release that.
It's like feeling. Release the pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I guess, so today, you focus a lot more on meditation, on breath work, those types of, skills, which are very relatable. They're great tools for people to have that are maybe working through mental health, but I guess maybe go to other to deal with it. But this is right. Meditation is a great way to deal with mental health. I guess it allows you to focus on actually your feelings and thoughts. So I guess, do you ever work with people on this type of thing, like with your meditation? Like, do you work with people that are dealing with like mental health issues, I guess? Or is that something you would work with people?
I do. I would say most of the people that I work with have some type of mental health issue, whether it's a big thing or a small thing. However, I find that a lot of people don't necessarily want to, quote, meditate. They may be, I don't know, it's hard for people to take the time to really sit still. And so I personally don't meditate a lot, but I'm constantly self-aware. And I think you and I talked about this in another podcast. And that, okay, like right before we were doing this podcast here, I was working on doing the audio for my meditation course that we're putting out here in the next couple of days. And literally setting up the microphone and then trying to record that, I could feel anxiety rising in me. And this is me sitting in Jason's office, you know, by myself, nobody else is around. And I'm having a small bout of anxiety just on talking in front of a microphone and nobody else is in the room but me. And so literally what I would do was just pause the microphone, close my eyes, and just focus on my breathing and say, okay, how am I breathing right now? And I would notice that, okay, my stomach had tensed up a little bit and I had a feeling that I would describe as anxiety in my upper chest. And so I just sat there and I literally focused on it and I said, okay, like here is this feeling. Okay, I'm not going to run from it. Let me see what happens when I simply watch it for a little while longer. And as I'm sitting there just focusing on this feeling of anxiety in my chest, I noticed that I was naturally relaxing like my throat muscles and my chest muscles more and more, even muscles that I wasn't even aware that I consciously knew how to tense, I was tensing them. And so I was literally seeing that my thoughts about recording this, you know, this course was driving anxiety in my body, but it didn't need to be there. And so by me simply taking that time to feel where that was at in my body, it simply went away on its own. And yes, it took me a couple of takes to really get my groove for things. But after I did, I noticed that there was nothing there at all. And I was perfectly, you know, I was perfectly myself and talking to you the same as I'm doing now.
Right.
So yeah, it was just, I guess you could call it a meditation, but really I always use the word awareness because you can meditate at any time, really, if you're just, you know, you're just paying attention. And so that's really what I do. It's not that I sat cross-legged on the floor and, you know, put my fingers in a certain mudra position and, you know, chanted and said om and stuff like that. I just close my eyes and focus my attention within my body and it took care of itself. There really wasn't any need for me to do anything. It did it on its own.
I think that's the thing with meditation, is that what most people think it is. They think that you're sitting right there cross-legged on the floor, eyes closed, just breathe in, breathe out. But really you can, like, you can go for a walk and be meditating, because it's literally just mindfulness, like paying attention 100%.
And just seeing them. Yeah. Seeing them for what they are. They're just thoughts, you know, just thoughts.
Yeah. So to the fact that we are blended and we are a gym, a lot of people use fitness for their mental health, and currently, and over the last year, this is our third time, gyms are closed, which means a lot of people are struggling. I feel like maybe this time, as opposed to the first time, people might be struggling more. I guess, in your opinion, how important, which I think we kind of touched on this in the first question, is the connection between your fitness and mental health?
Yeah, it's huge. And so, kind of to go back, when I was looking at the role of like psychoimmunology and just how stress impacts the immune system, I was looking at a study to where they mice, man, I feel so bad for mice. They get shit on so much by human beings. Excuse my language. But they were looking at the effects of social isolation on mice. And what they were finding is that when they isolated these mice, their drive to explore and to play and even to eat and really do anything went down significantly, and that this isolation alone actually caused stress that gave them symptoms similar to like a little mouse cold. And so they were able to kind of extrapolate that data and then apply that to human beings. And so I think it's only a natural thing that when we're told to go off by ourselves and to isolate, that we're naturally going to see a decrease in motivation to actually keep moving. I mean, human beings are very, very much social creatures. Like, even introverted people like ourselves still need to be around people at some point in order to actually feel like we're a part of society. And, you know, humans gather in tribes for a reason. But right now we live in a world where, you know, every person that you see has the potential to kill you or your grandmother. So we don't want to go around people. And I think this is having a really, really detrimental effect on society. Just this constant mistrust of everybody. And, oh, this person's here, let me pull up my mask, lest they give me this virus and kill me, or, you know, lest I give it to them and kill them. And so, yeah, there's kind of this ultimate divide between human beings right now. And I think it's extremely, extremely harmful. And so with that, going back to what you said about physical movement, there is that desire to stop moving when we're depressed. And I think that, well, you just have to get up and do something. And for me, you know, inline skating has been an absolute, absolute gift to me. Even though I didn't even realize that it would be, you know, when I got my dad to give me my first pair of inline skates a couple months ago as a birthday present. And so, like, even last night, as an example, it was 9:30 at night. I'm sitting at home and I'm thinking, you know, like, I'm quite tired. I really want to go to bed, but I haven't moved today. And this idea just popped in my mind, put on your skates and go outside. I'm like, you know what? All right, I'm going to do it. And I went up the street, put my skates on, skated around the cul-de-sac and up the street just to work on techniques. And I noticed that an hour later, I hadn't had any thoughts other than skating alone. Like, I was so focused on the act of like position and working on my stride and working on my balance and focusing on the minutiae of the tiny little movements that I have to do in order to get my body to get propelled in a certain direction, that there was no room for anything else other than just focusing on the skating. And so when I got home, it was 10:35 when I walked to the door, but I felt great. And I actually felt my mood had significantly increased just from something as simple as skating. And I wasn't, you know, doing, you know, tricks or anything like that, just working on the very basic stuff. And so I think people really do have to just get up and move. And if you're not, I've said this before, if you're not feeling called to exercise per se, like, that's totally fine. But I think to lock yourself inside your house and veg out on TV or tablets or phones or computers or whatever, I think that's probably the worst thing that you can do. I think bodies are meant to be moved, and, you know, call it endorphins or whatever. Our bodies benefit from movement. But just the hardest thing is getting yourself up and just saying, you know what, like, I don't want to do this right now, but I know that I'm going to feel better when I do it. And really the hardest part is just getting up and putting your shoes on. Like, once you're out the door, it takes care of itself, you know? And so, yeah, you just have to muster up that courage, just put your shoes on. Like, that's all you literally have to do is put your shoes on and just step outside the door, and everything else will take care of itself from there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, obviously we're not going to the gym. So I've been back into running, and things have been stressful and a lot in everybody's mind, and including myself. And I was out running the other day, with my running buddy, I guess running friends. I was out running with someone, and they were like, at the end of the run, they were like, your mood completely changed from started to when we finished. Like, you were a whole different person because you just kind of forgot about everything that was going on and everything that was in your head, and you just like enjoyed the run. Yeah. And I'm like, it makes such a huge difference. Like, physical activity, like fitness, it does play a huge toll on your mental health. So yeah, even though you can't get to the gym right now, just get outside and move, do something.
Yeah. And I would say even just like beyond that, it's just getting outside of the house. And I think that's like the one thing that gets people the most is that, okay, if you look at prisons as an example, if you want to punish a prisoner most severely, you put them in social isolation or like in a, what do they call it? Solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Right. And like, people have long known that if you put a person in solitary confinement, basically social isolation, for a long enough period of time, they'll mentally break. Like, the strongest person left alone for a long enough period of time will literally mentally break, or they'll die. Even if they're given food and water and all that other stuff, like, the lack of social interaction between them and other human beings is enough to kill them. And so just getting outside, even if you can't interact with other human beings, like, just seeing them from a distance and just having the freedom that comes with being outdoors and not confined to the four walls, enough to really just give your mind that mental space in order to be able to focus on something other than, you know, the narrow bandwidth of thoughts that constantly go through your head. And I think that's the most important thing is, like you said, when you were running, you're not focusing on the troubles of the world. You're focusing on breathing and the position of your feet and making sure you're engaging the right muscles in your legs and, you know, whatever else happens when you run. So
yeah,
you just need that. Yeah.
Just to, I guess, finish this off, if you could give one piece of advice to everyone right now or anyone that's struggling right now, what would it be?
One piece of advice. This too shall pass, I would say.
Very deep.
Right? I think Gandalf or something from Lord of the Rings said it. So I don't know. But, you know, like many things, like, it's another season. So, you know, all you have to do is keep yourself in a good enough position and just play the long game, I think, right now, because we don't know when we're opening back up again, like case projections and blah, blah, blah. Like, anybody who actually looks at history knows that anytime we're told 2-week lockdown, it really means 4 weeks or 3 months. So if you just know that at some point it's going to end, and all you have to do is keep yourself in a good place until then and just focus on the day-to-day, minute-by-minute stuff, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, take it one day at a time.
One day at a time. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do. Yeah. All right. I think this was a good chat, Daryl. It was fun. Thanks so much, Daryl. It was good chatting with you.
Thank you, Morgan. Good talking to you, too. You be well.
You, too. Bye.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to this blended audio experience. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave it a 5-star review, share it with your friends, and subscribe.